This conference is being recorded.
Hello, good morning and good afternoon and good evening, everybody. This is Frédéric May from the Trademark Clearinghouse, and I want to welcome you all to our session today on the DocBank Sunrise. As we received some questions from trademark holders and trademark agents, we thought we would use this opportunity to invite Mr. Craig Schwartz, Managing Director of the FDLD Registry Services, to provide you with some background on DocBank in general and the Sunrise more specifically. Just a reminder for everybody, all lines are muted. You can pose any questions via the chat on the top left-hand corner of the interface, and we will come back to those questions at the end of the webinar if we still have the time. The recording and presentation will also be shared with you. I will start the session with updates on the Trademark Clearinghouse statistics and the Sunrise calendar, and then I will hand over the presentation to Mr. Schwartz, who will provide you with more information on DocBank. To give you an update on the Trademark Clearinghouse statistics and where we are with the TMCH, our numbers have gone up considerably. We are currently on 36,064 records in the clearinghouse, and of those records, almost 50% are submitted for multiple years. As you may recall, a trademark record can be submitted for 1, 3, or 5 years. Over 80% of those records are submitted by trademark agents, and we have a verification percentage of 94.5%, meaning that the other 5% have been marked as invalid because they either don't qualify for inclusion in the trademark clearinghouse, like, for example, state marks, or the records have expired. As you can see, almost 2,500 of the records have expired, which brings the renewal rate to over 85%. We have trademark records coming in from holders residing in 105 different countries and are covering 119 different jurisdictions. We also have over 90,000 trademark years in the clearinghouse, meaning that the sum of the number of marks and the number of years for which they have been submitted equals to over 90,000. As you know, we have a sunrise period to register your domain name that matches your trademark, but after this sunrise period, we also have a claims period. So, for example, if you choose not to register your trademark as a domain name in the sunrise period, should somebody register a matching domain name after the sunrise period in the claims period or after the claims period during the ongoing notifications period of the different GTLDs, you will receive notifications during the period of protection you have selected when submitting your trademark record. So, in the case of claims notifications, we've sent out 150,000, and for ongoing notifications, which you get after the claims period, we have sent out almost 100,000. All these notifications and the qualification for the sunrise period are included in the fee for the trademark clearinghouse. The added value of this protection for the trademark holder and brands is clear in view of the new GTLD program and the changes this brings to the internet. The other graph shows an overview of the different languages which are already included in the TMCH, which you can browse over after we send the presentation. So the current sunrises. This slide shows the current active sunrise period, meaning that if you have a valid Trademark Clearinghouse SMD file, you can register a domain name that matches your trademark for these sunrises. So, for example, .football, .tennis, and .one. Once the sunrise period has ended, you will not have the priority right as a trademark holder to register your brand as a domain name matching your trademark. If you want to register a domain name, make sure you have a valid SMD file, otherwise you will not be able to take part of the sunrise period. So the announced sunrise periods. As you can see, the sunrise period for DocBank has been announced to start the 18th of May, but I'll let Craig give some more information on that. For those of you that do not have a valid SMD file yet but want to take part in the sunrise of DocBank, make sure to submit your mark and get the record verified so you can register once the sunrise opens up. You can also find all this information on our public website with the link shown here on the bottom of the slide. Now I'll hand over the presentation to Craig, who we're very thankful for joining us in this webinar and who will provide more information on DocBank and its sunrise.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for participating in today's webinar hosted by the Trademark Clearinghouse. My name is Craig Schwartz. I'm the Managing Director of FDLD Registry Services, and by way of a little bit of background, I've been with this organization since it was a thought in a number of trade associations and banks and insurance companies' minds. Back in 2011, the company was actually formed in 2012, and I've been leading the effort since that time. Prior to joining FTLD, I worked with ICANN, or the Internet Corporation for Sign Names and Numbers, where I was the chief registry liaison with them for 5 years. So I've obviously got background in the ICANN world, and now am using that in the banking and insurance sectors with our applications and now registries for .bank and .insurance. What I'll go through today is a fairly high-level overview of who we are and what we're doing. I anticipate the deck will take 15 or 20
minutes. Please enter your PIN code, followed by the hash key.
To get through, and do want to make sure that we have adequate time for questions and answers at the end of the session. Overall, we're operating a fairly typical sunrise period, and I'd also like to add that where most registries are offering or providing a 90-day trademark claims period, we are providing a one-year claims period, at least initially. We may opt to modify that at some later time, but did want you to be aware of that as we go into the discussion today. So as you can see, the financial world on the Internet is changing, and many, many applications from a variety of applicants for financially oriented domains, some generic, some brands, and as you can see, we were the applicant for .bank and .insurance. We are now the operator of those registries, and we are a much different registry operator than the vast majority of others, and we have to be because there is a tremendous amount of public interest and public trust that is placed in these types of Internet domains. And so we are operating at a much higher bar, and we'll get to all of the requirements as we go through the deck. A little bit about the history, and I won't spend too much time on it since we're past being an applicant and now a registry operator, but this company was formed by the American Bankers Association and the Financial Services Roundtable, as well as a host of other banks, insurance companies, and trade associations from around the world, who were concerned about ICANN's introduction of these new types of domains and took measures to both impact ICANN's process for their allocation and ultimately opted to apply for .bank and .insurance to serve and protect these sectors as the Internet explosion happens with so many new domains. What's the status? Pretty clear, and as the opening remarks noted, sunrise for .bank starts on May 18th. In terms of .insurance, that will happen much later in the year, and please stay posted for updates that we'll make available on our website. What are they? Two of many, many, many new domains owned, operated, and governed by the sector. So that's an important distinction. We were a community-based applicant, which means we have to comply with a host of restrictions that are not in play for many of the other financially oriented domains. We say we're trusted, verified, more secure, and easily identifiable. The word bank is known around the world and used by financial institutions, regardless of the jurisdiction. There might be other forms, such as Banco or Banca, depending on the region. But in general, when you see the word bank, everyone understands what it means. They're highly restricted. We have mandatory enhanced security requirements. And the long-term goal of this, or one of the long-term goals, is that it will serve as an innovative channel for the financial services sector. So moving on to what makes them different, and I've already alluded to now several times, eligibility requirements, that is dictating who can have domains, what kind of domains can you have, and how can they be used. We'll talk more about mandatory verification in a later slide, as well as some of these enhanced security requirements. So strict eligibility requirements, .bank is currently limited to banks, banking trade associations, banking regulators, and select service providers. And an example of a select service provider is what we call a core processor. And it's an organization that frequently helps a bank present its online banking payment system, or a core processor may operate a bank's online web presence, controlling its domain names. So core processors are, as the word implies, core to a bank's infrastructure, and that's why we felt it was important to include them. At the end of the day, though, when we look at the total number of registrants in .bank, we fully expect that upwards of 98% will probably be banks, and the remaining 2%, some of these other qualified organizations. With regard to the name selection policy, during qualified launch in Sunrise, and at you as either trademark agents or those that have been actively involved in the trademark clearinghouse's work. You know that during the sunrise period, domains have to be an exact match of the mark registered with the trademark clearinghouse. And the same applies for the qualified launch program. For founders and general availability, the name selection policies are a little bit more relaxed, but we do still require that it correspond to your trademark, your trade name, or your service mark. It doesn't mean that you have to have a registered trademark to secure a domain in .bank, but you do have to be able to demonstrate a right, such as a common law right that you may have obtained through use of a name or a slogan or a motto over an extended period of time. And you must be able to demonstrate a right to that name in order to secure an equivalent domain name. There are some names that are not available at this time. We refer to them as common community and generics. Some easy example of generics are savings.bank, checking.bank, loan.bank. And we may at some point make them available through one of a variety of equitable allocation mechanisms. But we chose, and our board took a position on, at least for now, we want to hold those names in reserve. On the common community names, which is really an issue unique to the United States, more so than many of the other jurisdictions that we studied, in that in the U.S., many banks have the same name or a series of words in common as part of their name. Some example of those are First National and Citizens and Peoples and State. And similar to the generics, those names will not be available for registration for the foreseeable future. So banks that have those names that are looking to get a domain name, if, for example, you're a community bank and you can't get community.bank, you can be a little more creative with your name. For example, if you're the Community Bank of New Mexico, you might want communitynm.bank or cbnm.bank. So there's leeway in how you structure names, and again, this is unique to the founders and general availability periods. Talking a little bit more about QLP and Sunrise, and some of this information is repetitive. Again, these periods are restricted to names in the clearinghouse that have been issued an SMD or assigned a mark data file. Registrants via their registrars will need to present that SMD file at the time of registration in these periods, and VeriSign, as FTLD's technical registry service provider, has a responsibility to make sure that the SMD provided by the registrar is valid and also that the name associated with the SMD file is what's been applied for by the registrant via their registrar. QLP is restricted to FTLD's founding members. Founding members are all identified on our endorsers page at ftld.com/endorsers. Allocation in all registration periods is first come, first served. All registrations must be made through FTLD-approved registrars, which, again, are listed on the ftld.com website. I think we're up to about 15 or 17 registrars as of today. I suspect we'll probably add 3 to 5 more before the sunrise period, although some have indicated to us that they do not intend to support sunrise registrations, primarily because they won't be ready operationally to process those types of registrations, and will look to be supportive of FTLD starting with general availability. Semantic verification, and we'll talk about this more in a further slide, is required for all registrations. Moving on to the registration process, and I'm not going to read through this deck, but for those that have either registered domains before or are a registrar or are very familiar with the registration process, it's a little bit different in .bank and .insurance than it is for other common TLDs. In the .com world, if you go to a registrar and you select a name and it's available, you get it almost instantaneously and you can almost use it as quickly. With .bank and .insurance, there is a validation process that VeriSign will undertake during the registration process, and they're primarily checking for two pieces of information. That is, that the name server requirement for .bank is compliant, And during the registration process, it means either the name server has to be in the .bank zone, so ns1.mybank.bank, or during the registration process, there can be no name server provided. Either is fine. VeriSign will also look for a DS record associated with DNSSEC if a .bank name server is provided. And with this basic security check, VeriSign validates the domain request. It goes into what's a pending create status. And as soon as a domain has been put in pending create, the registrar will send a request to Symantec, the verification agent, to commence that process. As soon as Symantec completes the process and provides FTLD with an approval or a rejection status, we then go back into VeriSign system and either accept or reject the registration. And once we accept it, it moves out of a pending create status into pending create. If it's rejected for some reason, the name goes back into the available pool of registration of domain names and can be registered by another organization. It's important to note, too, that a .bank domain can be activated whenever the registrant is ready. There is no use requirement, either immediately or long-term. We certainly hope that entities will use their .bank domains, but there's no use requirement. Moving on to talk about the Symantec verification process, as I mentioned a moment ago, it will commence after VeriSign has successfully accepted a domain request and put it in the pending create status. Symantec will do a number of things for the verification through independent third-party databases. That is information that they can confirm without talking directly to the registrant, such as the phone number of the bank, the physical address of the bank, the bank's charter with its jurisdictional regulator, and if that regulator issues regulatory ID numbers, Symantec will also be able to verify that regulatory ID number directly with the regulator. There are a couple of key portions of the verification that are really important to understand, and if are not done properly, can make a verification very complicated or perhaps result in a failed verification. And that is, Symantec is going to verify that the registrant contact is a full-time employee of the company, or in this case, the bank. They will also verify that the contact is authorized by the bank to make registrations on its behalf. And the third component is that they will verify that the names selected by the registrant comply with FTLD's name selection policy. And to perform the verification on the registrant contact, Symantec is going to call the bank, and they will either seek to speak with the human resources director or someone in that department and or the registrant contact's direct manager to verify the employment status and also the authority. If you're familiar at all with the extended validation SSL certificate process, that is how to get an EV cert, the process that we're employing for .bank and .insurance, it's almost identical. And that component, the phone call to the bank or to the registrant organization, is critical. So it's really important that registrants have notified the right folks internally within their organization to expect the call and also to promptly respond to it. We're expecting that verifications should take less than a couple of days, but it really depends on how quickly the registrant organization responds to the request. And then finally, verification is performed every 2 years or upon the domain name renewal, whichever is first. Moving on to more about enhanced security, and some of the security requirements apply to the registrants themselves. Some apply to registrars, and then others apply to FTLD as the registry operator. I won't get into a lot of detail here because this call is really focused on the Sunrise process, but all of what you see on the screen plus some others all contribute to how .bank and .insurance are more trusted, are verified, and are more secure out of the box than any other existing or new top-level domain registry. So activities for the next 90 days, you'll see an increased level of marketing and outreach, FTLD is doing a tremendous number of webinars, such as these with the TMCH. We're also doing several with ICANN-accredited registrars that we have approved to be our registrars. You'll start to see more media, more news. You should see later next week a new website that's dedicated strictly to .bank. The URL will be register.bank. And the second main bullet on this page is a really important document. It's called the .bank Implementation Guide. And it's very much a how-to manual on all things you need to know about implementing .bank for your organization, from how do you communicate it to your internal stakeholders, your employees, your colleagues, your customers, to external stakeholders, such as your regulator or other types of organizations. The other elements to the guide are technically oriented, one being the business overview of all of the technical security requirements, why we have them in place and what they serve to do, and perhaps what might be viewed as the most important portion of the guide is the element of best practices for implementing the technical requirements. For example, what is DNSSEC? How do you implement DNSSEC? What are some resources that can be helpful with DNSSEC? And I just got the first draft of it literally 2 days ago. I have to admit it's quite a hefty document, and we've now got experts out in the field reviewing the components to make sure that it covers all of the materials in a helpful and meaningful way, so that when we make it available to interested stakeholders, that it's a valuable resource for them and their internal departments that are going to be responsible for implementing .bank. So some parting thoughts, particularly geared towards registrants. Check our timeline to make sure you know when you're eligible. Certainly think about the names you'd like to have and make sure that they comply with FTLD's name selection policies. Engage with a registrar soon. We know that some registrars are offering pre-screening and consulting services as part of the fee that they would charge to register a domain with them. And going through a pre-screening process with a registrar can help speed up the process when the eligibility period for your organization opens. And what I mean by speed up the process is that it doesn't mean you get to register a domain name earlier. There's no such thing as a pre-registration in .bank. But what registrars will be doing is effectively taking applications from banks or registrants and putting them in a queue so that when the eligibility period for that registrant is open, for example, general availability starting on June 24th, all of the domains that the registrar has queued up for that period, they would submit as soon as the period opens in an effort to ensure the best chance of the registrant having a successful registration in .bank. We certainly suggest that if you rely heavily on a core processor for your infrastructure or online banking services or anything else for that matter, that you consult with them because they do need to be part of the discussion. And again, remember that domains are awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. We've really been telling folks that getting domains and using domains in .bank is very much a two-step process. That is, be sure to get in early and get the domains you want, and then take the time to figure out what your strategy is and implement them when you're ready. What you don't want to do is go to apply for a domain in August when you're finally ready to do something, only to find out that it was registered back on June 24th by someone who was more ahead of the game. So the last page is contact information for myself. You can certainly email or phone call with questions. A number of links to very specific information on our website, currently all on the FTLD.com website. A lot of this will be transitioned to register.bank as soon as we can launch that new website again. It's anticipated to be later next week. So with that, the formal portion of the presentation or the webinar today is concluded, and certainly happy to take questions from participants.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. We already have three questions. Maybe just a reminder, if you have any questions, you can put them down in the chat box and we'll go through them all. So the first question, Craig, is For service providers, what type of validating authority would we look at, would we look for as a registrar?
So I think the question is, if a registrar is getting an application from a service provider, what's acceptable and what's not? And what I suggest registrars do, actually everyone for that matter, is take a look at the registrant eligibility policy on our website and specifically look at the implementation guidelines that try to draw a bright line between what types of service providers are acceptable and what types are not. A core service provider that is an organization that operates a bank's online payment system or online banking platform is certainly an acceptable service provider. A security firm that provides a guidance and or consulting advice to a broad range of customers, including banks, healthcare providers, other types of organizations, would not qualify for a .bank domain. So it's a very narrow category, and I welcome questions anyone may have by email or by phone on this specific group. I'd also like to note that all of the service providers still have to be approved by FTLD's board of directors. So those types of registrations are going to take a little bit longer. We want to make sure that we're preserving the spirit and the integrity of .bank by only permitting in the types of entities that really need to be part of .bank.
Okay, thank you. Second question is, for the first come, first serve in the sunrise period, does it depend on the time of handing in the application or the time of completing the verification?
It's the time that the registration request is validated by VeriSign. So it's at the time the application is made and the moment that it's put into the pending create status.
Okay, thank you. And the next question is for us, I think. The presentation and the recording of the presentation will be available, will be sent out tomorrow. Then we have another question. Just confirming, you said you do not need to have a registered trademark to register a domain in .bank, but if we do it during the sunrise period, the trademark does have to be registered, correct?
Correct. During the QLP and the sunrise, and this process is mandated by ICANN, it's not a rule that FTLD made up, the trademark has to be registered in ICANN's trademark clearinghouse, and it would have an SMD file, and that's what would be presented during the registration process. For the founders and general availability period, the restrictions are a little more relaxed, whereas you don't have to have a registered trademark, trade name, or service mark, but you do have to be able to demonstrate a right to have the requested domain name. And if you don't have a registered trademark and Symantec can't easily associate the domain name you're requesting with your institution, they will follow up with a request directly to the registrant, not the registrar, to request additional information substantiating the right to have that specific domain name.
The next question was posed during your explanation of the service provider, so I think it's related to that. The question is a Chinese certificate acceptable?
So I'm not sure what's meant by certificate in this example, but if the question is can documentation be provided to demonstrate a right to a name, can that be provided in Chinese, the answer would be yes, but if that's not the right interpretation, if we could get a clarification, that would be helpful.
Yep, we have one. Let me just...
I can see Grace has written into the box for the verification. So, correct, a documentation supporting the verification process can be provided in the native language.
Thank you. Then I have a question sent to me via private chat. You mentioned that there is no use requirement for .bank domains. If an organization does not intend to use a domain, must a secure certificate be in place on the date of registration?
So that's a really good question. So all of the security requirements for .bank apply to domain names that resolve on the Internet. So if it's certainly permissible to register a domain name to to not have any name servers, and thus you wouldn't have a DS, you wouldn't have DNSSEC because the name wouldn't work. I mean, we've never promoted the idea of defensive registrations in .bank because we just don't view that as something that's necessary. But a domain that's not ever intended to be used could really be considered almost a defensive registration in that it wouldn't have to have the security requirements because it didn't resolve on the internet. It also would remain in what's called a server hold status by VeriSign. So the domain would be effectively registered to the registrant. If someone did a Whois lookup on that name, they would find the registrant information. They would also see that the domain was listed in a pending create status. And it wouldn't be until the registrant or via their registrar provided the necessary information to activate the domain name that it would move to a created status and actually work on the internet. So, sorry, that was a bit long-winded. And to maybe circle back around on the use requirement, there's not a use requirement. You can register a domain name, but it will not be delegated and resolve on the internet until all of the security requirements are met.
Okay. Another private question. Is there a list of domain names that will be reserved, at least initially?
Yes. If you're at the FTLD.com website, there's a navigation bar at the bottom called Resources. If you click on Resources, there's a link to a PDF file of all of the names that are reserved. And it's important to note that the list is not exhaustive. You know, it would be impossible for us to list every single generic word that we think we would not want to make available. The common community names are there. The reserve names are there. The names that FTLD might use for itself for the operations of the registry are also there. So, yes, all of that information is on our website.
Okay. I have one more private question. I may have missed this, but what is the estimated cost for a .bank domain during the sunrise period?
So there is no, let me back up. FTLD Registry as the operator is responsible for setting the wholesale price of what domains cost, but it's the registrars that set the retail price of domains. As a rule, the FTLD has not set a price for sunrise registrations that is different than a price from standard registrations. And to the best of my knowledge, I haven't seen any registrars that are charging different prices for Sunrise versus general registration names.
Okay. And we have another question. A domain name would still have an expiration date if in pending create, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if I have the following name, bank name saving bank.bank, will that work? I think it's supposed to...
So if the question is that an acceptable name with regard to our name selection policy, I would say off the cuff that it is. If I'm not understanding the question right, perhaps we could get some clarification.
Diana, does that answer your question?
Yeah, let me add, since we're talking about name selection a little bit, let me perhaps add a clarification that might be helpful with regard to the common community names. And I think I did mention this earlier in the talk, but for all of the reserve names, whether they're generics or common community, the only registration that's prohibited is the reserve name plus .bank. So you can be creative with how you structure your names. And I also might add that if the name of your bank happens to be what also might be construed as a generic term, it's not our intention as the registry operator to deny a bank or other qualified organization for that matter the right to have their domain name. So if in fact the name of your bank or institution is generic and for some reason it's on our list, there is a process by which to get that name removed and be able to use that name. You can come to us directly with a request, but you can also go to the National Arbitration Forum is an independent arbitration service that we've engaged, as have many other registry operators. And we have what's called a registrant eligibility dispute resolution process, which basically enables a registrant who has been denied the right to register a name or perhaps has even had a name taken away because their eligibility has expired. This dispute process, which is also a detailed policy on our website, is a means of recourse for a registrant who feels that they've been either wrongly denied or wrongly had a name wrongly terminated. So again, we're not looking to withhold names from an eligible organization, but we do need to follow prescribed processes to make sure that we're living up to what we committed to the banking community with regard to the operations of .bank.
Thank you. One more question on the pricing. Are you able to provide a ballpark estimate? We're talking hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars?
So what we're seeing now, based upon publicly available information that some registrars have put out there, is we're seeing at the retail level registrations of right around $1,000 per year, which is obviously much more than what you're paying in some of the other top-level domains. But what we're offering is unlike anything else that's currently available. And when you consider the steps that are required for the semantic verification process, when you consider all of the enhanced security requirements and the monitoring that needs to go in to ensure that registrants are abiding by them, it's a much more expensive operation to run, which is reflected in a higher domain registration price. I will add that in the early days of .bank, we were hearing questions from banks about whether domains were going to cost 10 or 15 or 20,000 US dollars per year. So I feel really happy about the fact that we can say that from most registrars so far, they're retailing at just slightly under 1,000 US dollars. So we hope that banks are looking at this as a valuable resource for their organization and particularly their customers, and that the price of these domains is justified by what you get when you use them.
Okay. One more question. If the registrant didn't complete the security verification eventually, will the client still be the owner of the domain?
So if Symantec is not able to complete the verification process or fails the verification process, and FTLD affirms the failed verification process, the registration request at the VeriSign system would be rejected, and the domain would go back into the pool of available domain names. Now, we've allotted for a very generous verification period. We've said that we expect most verifications will take on the order of a couple of days. We actually have a much, much longer period to complete that, and we will work very closely with Symantec and the registrar, if necessary, to ensure that the verification process is completed in a timely manner. But if the verification fails, or if it can't be completed in the allotted time, and the allotted time currently is maxed out at 90 days, then the request will be rejected and the domain goes back into the available pool of domains.
Okay. Well, we have no more new questions. I'll give it one more minute and then we'll end the session. If you have any more questions, please post them in the chat box and we'll get to them. You have one more new question?
Yeah, I can see Melissa's question in the chat box.
Okay.
So some domains have a non-transfer requirement for a certain number of days, 90, for example. What's the policy regarding that bank? So we don't have a transfer restriction, although we would have that registrant would have to undergo a verification. And if the verification couldn't be completed, then the transfer would not be approved. We actually don't anticipate very many transfers in .bank because of the security requirements and primarily because of the verification requirements. And so while we have to permit transfers because it's an ICANN requirement, we just don't expect it's going to happen very often from one organization to another. It could be from one organization to another operational unit of that organization, but from company A to company B or bank A to bank B, we don't see that happening very frequently.
Okay. Well, I think that was the last question. So if you still have any more questions, you can always reach Craig via his contact. That was provided in the slide. And if you have any questions on the Trademark Clearinghouse, you can reach us via the hotline and the ticketing system. So we'll be sending out the presentation and the recording tomorrow. And I want to thank Craig again for giving this interesting presentation and more information on the bank. And I want to thank the participants for joining us in the webinar. I hope it was useful. Thank you all.
Thanks very much.